the talk. This is Fernando Salvigati from the National Institute of Ag Technology in Argentina. His title, Nitrogen Management in Soybean, Biological Nitrogen Fixation and Fertilization, or both. So follows well on our previous presenter.
Thank you. Well, I will continue your presentation because the principal aspect of nitrogen nutrition has been very well described here. What I will describe or try to say here is about a big bibliographic compilation that I made about nitrogen fixation, nitrogen uptake in soybeans, and a compilation of a lot of work about nitrogen fertilization in soybeans, just to know which are the principal problems or what room we have for improving nitrogen nutrition in soybeans. Well, this is the nitrogen cycle, remember that? Remember that at this time? Well, we will simplify this nitrogen cycle. We will take out the output of the system, and we try to imagine that in a soybean crop system, with the total input that the crop will need will come from biological nitrogen fixation or by the nitrates, the pool of nitrates that we have in soil. That's the two sources of nitrogen for the crop. However, if we add fertilizer, this is a summary of what Larry said before, we have an inhibition of biological nitrogen fixation. So we have this paradox, as he said, that we cannot fertilize at least, or I will show you some results that I had that maybe it can be possible. So, and taking out the principal ideas, taking into account that nitrogen in crops is mainly for photosynthesis because nitrogen is mainly accumulating leaves as rubisco, so that's why there is a linear relationship between seed yield and nitrogen in all crops, and it's useful for seed protein reserves. We know that soybean is the largest reservation of nitrogen in grains. So we have another issue in the crops that during the seed filling period, we have a competition for nitrogen during this period, because some of the leaves some of the nitrogen that we have to have in the leaves for photosynthesis has to be mobilized to the seed. So this is what happens. So if we're talking how to manage nitrogen in soybeans, we have to take into account the plant demand, how much nitrogen is in soil, and how much nitrogen is biologically fixed by now. So, in this bibliographic compilation that we made with the group, we first represent how much nitrogen uptake. This is a typical spread of points when you relate nitrogen uptake and grain yield. This is a typical envelope distribution, where you have a mean requirement. The inverse of the slope is 80 kilograms nitrogen per ton of grain yield that we have. But we have two lines. We have the maximum dilution line, that is this border line here, that is a frontier line, that defines the maximum efficiency of nitrogen use. So a crop can require 80 kilograms of nitrogen, but it can still produce using up to 53 kilograms of nitrogen. Also, in the other side, he can accumulate, or we have this maximum accumulation line that is 156 kilograms of nitrogen per ton. What does it mean? For example, if a crop has to uptake 200 kilograms of nitrogen, with this amount of nitrogen, it can produce 1.5 to 3.5 tons of grain. This is important. Taking into account a high yield in soybean, for example, which can uptake 400 kilograms of nitrogen, it will produce this 2 tons, but it can still dilute this nitrogen. This nitrogen is diluted. Take it into account this for the discussion in the final session. How nitrogen is moving here? We have a nitrogen uptake rate here with larger values. This is the nitrogen uptake rate, total nitrogen uptake rate. This line is the soil nitrogen supply. This is the biological nitrogen supply. The pink line is the nitrogen in reproductive parts, and this is the mobilized, the white line is the mobilized nitrogen. What happens? I put 3 points during the crop nitrogen cycle. R1, that is the beginning of the reproductive period, R5, the beginning of seed filling period, and R7, that is the physiological maturity. What happens with crops? In the first part, up to R1, we have the nodules are not fully developed. There is a low biological nitrogen fixation supply, and there is a high dependence on nitrogen of soil for the growth of the crop. However, between R1 and R5, this is when we have the nodules completely developed. This is the soybean that has all the nodules well developed. We have the higher biological nitrogen fixation rates, and dependence on soils will decrease. And in the seed filling periods, we have a high seed nitrogen demand. The biological nitrogen fixation rate decreases, as well as the soil nitrogen supply. And that's why I say, well, can we increase fertilizing nitrogen to provide nitrogen that is not provided by biological nitrogen fixation and the soil? That's some of the stuff that we will try to answer. So, first thing, biological nitrogen fixation is the most important source of nitrogen. So, we inoculate. Inoculation is important. It's important when we have fields without soybean history, so we don't have the bacteria in the soil. This is an example from Argentina, but it happens. You will have to go back to reports from several years ago to notice this, but this is from a soil without soybean history, and you can see that in this soil you can have, in this case, 20%, but you have, depending on the fertility of the soil, you can have more or less percentage. But it's important inoculation in soil without soybean history. What happens in soils that have a long history of soybean? This is reported in Argentina when we compare plots with and without inoculation. And to understand this, in the x-axis, I'm showing the seed of the non-inoculated treatment. In the y-axis, I'm showing the inoculated treatment. The full line is showing us the one-to-one line, so if all the points go in this line, there is no response, typical response. And what we can see here in this dotted line is that we have a little increase when we inoculate in fields with soybean story. Look at this, that the slope of this relationship is 5. So we expect, comparing a lot of experiments, field experiments, no more than a 5% increase by inoculating soybean, because we have the bacteria in the soil. Okay? So sometimes happens that when we make one experiment only and we evaluate inoculation, we don't find significant difference. That's why we plotted a lot of experiments that had both alternatives. So this is the first alternative. We know that nitrogen fixation is important for total nitrogen uptake. In this graph, it's the same compilation, we plotted fixed nitrogen against nitrogen uptake. Again, the one-to-one line means when all points depends only on nitrogen fixation. If we see the circles with light blue, we can see that are all the fields that have normally fields without application of nitrogen fertilization, and we have a very linear relationship. And we see that as we increase the nitrogen application of fertilizer in surface, the nitrogen fixation is dramatically depleted. Okay? And this is what happens, really. This is the problem. And the other side is that what happens with high-yielding soybeans, soybeans that can uptake more than 400 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, we didn't find enough information on this. There are few studies that study at the same time high-yielding soybeans and nitrogen fixation. Okay, the second question. We know about inoculation, we know that nitrogen fixation is important. How about nitrogen fertilization? Well, look at the year of this reference. This is a reference from Argentina, 1985. Just to see, this is in the left side of the slide, we can see fertilizing nitrogen at TDF in an uninoculated soybean without an inoculated, and look at the response, a high response to nitrogen fertilization. It's like a corn. We don't have another source of nitrogen. But look at in the right side, when this the same with uninoculated soybeans, but planted in fields with 3 years at least of nitrogen of soil history, we see that no response. So the bacteria in the soil is there and is supplying the nitrogen necessary for development. Look at this, the level of yield, 3 tons. What happens? And this is the relationship. There is a negative relationship between fertilizer nitrogen nitrogen fixation, but it's an exponential negative relationship. No, not linear, negative, exponential. So it's more than 1-to-1 decrease in nitrogen fixation. This is what we have to deal with. Another issue, just a little one. How is nitrogen fixation inhibition occurs? Look at this. This is a work from it is a summary in this reference. But what I show you here is that this is a plant. This is the nodule. This is the bacteroid here, and do you remember? Legomoglobin is a protein that is needed to maintain the concentration of oxygen in the nodule, just to maintain the nitrogen fixation occurs, or the nitrogenase to function. Well, this is a layer that is maintained to maintain this concentration of oxygen. Some studies show that when nitrogen increases in the area surrounding the nodules, there is an increase in this layer. This layer increases the size, so oxygen, the input of oxygen is slower, and that is why nitrogenase activity decreases. And that's why we have an inhibition of nitrates on nitrogen fixation. And this process is reversible. When you take out the nitrates from the area surrounding the nodules, the layer becomes thinner and oxygen comes back again. Take it in account this for the next slide. So, coming back to, this is why it's inhibited. Look at this. This is what we try to represent here is response of nitrogen fertilization with maximum yield, that is the potential yield. First of all, look at the dots, the black circles are well-grown soybeans, or soybeans without any constraints. The other are soybeans that have some constraints when growing, or low pH, or a low efficient rate soybean. That's all what Larry says, all constraints that not allow the plant to have a good nodule system, or not to have a good fixation. So, above 4.5, there are some points that have any kind of response. But there are a lot of points that is a trade-off between fertilizer nitrogen and biological nitrogen fixation. That's why it's, well, generally nitrogen fertilization is replacing some of the nitrogen that otherwise has to be fixed. And if you want to relate this, this is a typical figure for corn, for example, trying to relate yield without nitrogen fertilizer and the response. And in a typical corn graph, you have a negative relationship. Here, with soybean, we don't have this kind. The response is random. It depends on a lot of stuff. In these responsive sites, the average nitrogen agronomic efficiency was approximately 9 kilograms of grain per kilogram of fertilizer when we apply less than 50 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare before R3. But if we apply this after R3, when there is a larger demand of nitrogen, this efficiency is 3 times greater. This is another issue. It is because of the great demand in this period. Then, response to nitrogen fertilization exists when there are constraints for a well-developed nodule plant system. What happens in high-yielding soybean? I will show you here an experiment I made in Nebraska a couple of years ago, showing the application of 180 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, but with three strategies. Applying all at R5, apply 50-50 at the beginning, 50 before plant, 50 at V6. And the other strategy was applying the same amount of nitrogen, but application deep before planting with low release urea, with those fields having nitrogen available during close to the R5 period. We have five for all the nitrogen strategies increase nitrogen increase seed yield by 5% amount. Look at this. This is a 5 tons soil. Obviously, we increase the amount about 9% the amount of nitrogen uptake. When we evaluate how much nitrogen fixation was in every treatment, we see here that the control we have close to 50% of nitrogen fixation. When we apply on surface, we have a great and dramatic decrease in nitrogen fixation, as we have described before, 38 to 32. But when we apply the nitrogen below the nodule zones, remember that of inhibition in the nodule area, we didn't find this negative, the negative impact on nitrogen fixation, almost the same. So we can consider that if this is fixation, the other part is in the control, it comes from the soil. Okay? So we can quantify first that this an amount of nitrogen that is needed for catching or capturing this response, this a little one, this 5% increase in grain yield, there is a great amount of nitrogen that has to come from the soil, and the other has to come from the nitrogen fixation. And in the case of these two that has lowered the nitrogen fixation very much, we have an amount that is that we call the trade-off nitrogen. What we have to apply over to have the response. So if we want the response, we have to apply this amount plus this amount to replace what was not fixed. You understand? Obviously, the higher is the amount of inhibition, the higher is the trade-off component. I want to say quickly what happened in different parts. Look at this. This is the nitrogen uptake rate control. And look at this when we apply the late application strategy. We have a higher nitrogen uptake. With the early application, we have a higher nitrogen uptake. But when we evaluate the nitrogen fixation rate, obviously we have a great inhibition. Great inhibition with the early application of nitrogen, and the great inhibition in the late application we apply later the nitrogen. Well, this is happening because of the presence of nitrates in the stone surrounding the nodules. And we maintain the nitrogen fixation rate even applicating in deeper in below the nodule zone. In summary of these experiments, we could quantify how much of this total nitrogen was a trade-off, a very huge amount of nitrogen that we have to, or the fertilizer nitrogen that we have to apply, that is just to replacing something that we have for free. Conclusions, or I'm going to make some kind of conclusion. Well, the main nitrogen sources for soybeans, and the size of the letters has to be with this, is soil, depends on the soil, depends on the biological nitrogen fixation, that we have to maintain a very good nodule system, and fertilizing nitrogen. Fertilizing nitrogen becomes important when we have some plant physiological constraints, when we have some bacterial constraints, because the bacteria is working well. What happens with high seed yield? I don't know. It can be a way that we have higher demand, but we have to think how to apply this nitrogen. So we have to optimize the biological nitrogen fixation process. How? By using high effectivity strains, high quality inoculants, and manage soil and crops in order to optimize the environments for the resolving soybean plant interaction. It's the must in soils without soybean cropping history. In Argentina, it is important because we are having an increase in soybean area in areas that soybean was not spread before. And it may reduce the risk of a low nodulation as a result of the bad environmental condition. So this is a good practice. How about nitrogen fertilization? It may be important in high yielding conditions, but under certain conditions, because you see that if you apply on surface, We don't have a very good pay for this nitrogen. That's why I put no surface application of fertilizing nitrogen, because we are replacing what we can obtain from the air. And finally, it's always important what this technology or what is nitrogen in high yielding. High yielding soybeans operate at a very moderate level of nitrogen deficiency. We don't have a yellow and a green crop. It's a very low deficiency, 5% increase in seed yield. Since more than 90% of nitrogen requirements are provided by soil or biological nitrogen fixation. The deep placement slow release urea did not depress biological nitrogen fixation and may provide the additional nitrogen needed to reach grain yield potential with no trade-off between fixed nitrogen and fertilizer. And finally, nitrogen fertilization may be considered a fine-tuning technology for managing nitrogen nutrition of high-yielding soybeans. I take into account all the points that we have raised here. It's not a recipe that you can say, well, soybeans have to have nitrogen because you have high yield. You have to determine seed yield potential, you have to determine how much nitrogen soil is giving to the plant, etc., the bacteria. So, in this layout that I made before, we can increase with a very low fertilizing nitrogen, but very analyzing when. I think that this is the way. Well, this is all that I have to say, and you have some questions.
Nice job. Are there questions for Fernando? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I take the same principle state that about the foliar fertilization first, it's like how much can you apply of nitrogen with amino acids. I don't have any experience on that, so I can't understand. But I think that you have a good calculation on how much you have to put in the leaves to modify or move the clock a little. I don't think that it's a good point there. Unless the plant is totally stressed, I don't know, but I don't have any experience, and what I saw in the field, I didn't see any response to that.
How deep was your placement of the deep nitrogen slow release, and also did you play around with lower rate? You talked about the efficiency and the trade-off with 180 kilos, but if you're down to 90, 75 kilos, then you're still getting...
Yes. It's a good point. I think that I didn't make that experiment. I think the next experiment is to know rates, but because we did, the objective of this experiment was to go to the boundary to the maximum. So if the response with 180, perhaps we have to see what happens with low rates. Yes.
Another question? Yes, go ahead.
A lot of farmers in northern regions put on like 30 kilos of nitrogen initially as a pop-up. Yep. And this is a practice that people are trying to dissuade farmers from doing. Now, how much actual harm are they doing to nitrogen fixation by putting an initial amount of fertilizer in the soil?
I think that in this case, because you put northern plants with colder soils, you remember that the first part of the nitrogen uptake rate, that you have a low, the nodules are not fully developed.
Right.
So I think that this starter, the nitrogen, may the crop to have a nitrogen quickly to grow and waiting for the nodule to be developed. It's not a huge amount of nitrogen.
No, but would that inhibit future nodulation development?
Yes, if you apply with seed, or apply very close to the seed, it may, as he said about the nodules or the nodule death, it can be deleterious. But if you can apply this nitrogen not very close to the seed, it can be... because this is a special situation, and the one I showed something that low fertility soils, very sandy soils with very low organic matter, in these soils, the crop doesn't have enough nitrogen to grow, to provide the carbohydrates to the nodule to be developed. So this is the point of the starter nitrogen in these cases. Perhaps in the case of say it may help in growing quickly the plant. But if you apply very close to the seed, you will be against the nodule.
All right, we have time for.
The areas that have not grown soybean before does not have inoculant in there. What's the likelihood of having a deficiency the first year?
High. Very high. I can tell you the experience. In Argentina, we have the experience of the soybean area is spreading in the north part where no soybean were planted before. So the first years, they are virgin soils. So the first years, the crop will uptake nitrogen from the organic matter, the mineralization. So perhaps you will not have a high response because you are actually taking the high mineralization, the high mineralization rates of the soil. However, after 2 or 3 years, you began to see a very, very response to inoculation. In addition, you have to take into account how is the plant demand, what is the potential yield of that place. Because it's not the same a 2 tons soybean than a 4 ton soybeans because of the demand. So the degree of stress, it will depend on both how much nitrogen is the soil giving to you and how much is the yield potential of the soybean.
Is there anything you can do to get over that first year so you don't have a decreased yield the first year?
The first year perhaps no, but the years after, yes, by sure.
So would inoculation be the
I think the inoculation is essential.
Yeah.
I didn't put here because of time, but when you go to a soil without bacteria, for example, it takes approximately 3 years that the bacteria to be the dominant in the nodules of the inoculant. You apply inoculant 3 years, year, so you will have that the bacteria of this inoculant will be the dominant in the nodules after the third year. So I think that in these cases, inoculation is a must. You don't have to fail with this.
Okay, we have time for one more question. There is one. Okay.
So in these virgin soils, if you don't inoculate, do you get some nodules just from rhizobium that's already in the soil?
If you have rhizobium in these sites, yes, but actually not.
You don't have any native strains of rhizobium?
No. No, there is no strength.
All right, thank you very much.
Oh.